Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Good morning, Lifeway Church. Well, my name is Costanza Venegas, and
I am Tiffany Venegas.
And so we're so excited to be here this morning. Let's welcome our first-time guests one more time. We're so glad to have our first-time guests here with us today, and I also did that because I have my beautiful family here joining with us for the first time, right over here to my left. And also, let's go ahead and welcome our online listeners to the podcast. They're listening right now, so go ahead and give it up for them. And so today, as Pastor Andrew mentioned, we're finishing our four-week series entitled Flushed Away. Look at the person next to you and say, don't let your finances flush away.
Don't let your finances flush away.
And so 4 weeks ago, Pastor Andrew started our time together talking about hope. And he really laid the foundation for our series. And then the week after that, we discussed what we call the way out. And we looked at some of the first steps to handling money God's way. Giving, saving, and getting on a written plan. And so next and last week, Tiffany then talked about breaking free from the freedom of debt and its bondage it holds. And so each step of the way, we try to provide tools for you all. And not only that, but also a foundation for us, which are principles in Scripture found in God's Word and what He's called us to be and also who He's called us to be.
Awesome. So today I'm really excited about our topic because it is one of the most rewarding parts of the financial process. It's also one of the least painful parts. And so we're going to be talking about building wealth and giving. And so remembering from the last few weeks, we talked about that we want to be able to live like no one else so that we can live like no one else. But today we're talking about living like no one else so we can live and give like no one else. And so in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11, it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And so we know that this process that we've been talking about over the last 4 weeks requires us to be disciplined, and at times it can be painful, like the scripture says. But we've gone over a few really important principles, and just to recap, we've learned that we know that if we sow, we reap. The Bible talks about that the diligent will prosper, and that in the house of the wise there are stores of choice food and oil. The Bible has given us clear direction through our time together and how to handle our finances, and we know that we want to live and walk in accordance with God's word. And so all of those things have really brought us to this point today. And so for some of you, what we discuss, it may take you years to get to this point, and that's totally okay. And for others of you, it might be something that you already have started or that you're ready to start right away. But before we begin, let's just imagine that no matter where you're at in your finances right now, let's imagine that you have your emergency fund in place, which we've talked about, that you've knocked out all of your debt. You're completely free of debt. You've invested 15% of your income in your checks, and the kids' college fund is already being built. It's a great place to be, right? And it's okay if we're not there yet. It's a process. And now there's our final step in this process, which is building wealth and being able to give. So say that with us, building wealth and give. Okay, get it stuck in your mind. So truly, this is about financial peace, and we've been talking about that along the way. But we have to understand that we need both the financial and the peace. And sometimes we just have the financial part, but we don't have the peace part. And the peace part of that is really a supernatural, heavenly peace. And sometimes we only have the peace, but we don't necessarily always want to do the work for the financial part. And so we think back to that, how much it does require that discipline. But as Christians, God has given us the strength to make these choices. And so in James 1, verse 22, it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. And so we think about all of the things we've learned over the past few weeks, and then also what we're going to dive into today. And just remember that we have to be hearers of the word, but then we also have to be doers. And so today's lesson is entitled The Great Misunderstanding. And the great misunderstanding is actually a paradox. And that paradox is the first blank in your service guide. It's the mistaken belief that the way to have more is to hold tightly. The mistaken belief that the way to have more is to hold on to things tightly. And mathematically, that probably seems correct. If we think back to maybe a sixth grade lesson on money, we know that if we spend, we have less, and if we hold tightly, we have more. And that sounds right. Wouldn't you agree? But today, we're actually going to talk about this paradox, that actually the way to have more is not necessarily holding on so tight. If you hold too tightly to your money, you may find yourself in good financial standing, but you're living in fear. Fear of losing what you already have. So if you find yourself holding onto your money with a death grip, you may have missed the point of the financial peace part of this, and you may have missed the whole reason for the process.
And so it's really called the tight-fisted mentality. So here's my money. Tight-fisted mentality, and you can hold it like this, and I promise you that it won't get away. I promise you it won't get away. But no more can come in either. And so when you learn to hold money with an open hand, then certainly some can get away, but you have the opportunity for more to come in. And we need to open our hands and open our spirits on this discussion with money. You will never have financial peace until we learn how to manage money with this open hand. And if we follow the steps that we've been previously taught, which are saving money, acting your wage, getting and sticking to a written zero-based budget plan, getting out of debt as fast as possible, and giving, then money will flow to us. But here's the thing, it doesn't stop there. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, that Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. He was blessed to be a blessing. God says this, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Do we catch that? He was blessed so that he might become a blessing to others. And that's what true giving is. See, when money flows to you and stays with you, you've missed the point. Mm-hmm. You've missed it completely. Certainly, some of it is going to stay with you, though, right? Like Bible says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And we know that. But if it all stops there, it's kind of like a pond that when water flows to it, and there's no outlet, what happens to it? It becomes stagnant. And so if there's no outlet, and when that happens, the flow from that, the flow cannot continue to go on and give life to other areas as it was intended to do. In Psalm 1:3 says this, like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. So the bottom line is this, and what we really have to understand is this. It's the money. It's not ours. Right. It doesn't belong to us. And so point two in our service guide today is this. We are asset managers for the Lord. We are asset managers for the Lord. And so we're just stewards for Jesus. And let me give you a visual example. And so I need a volunteer. Rick, can I have you come on up? Rick, come on up. Let's give Rick a hand. Rick's gonna come on up and then have you stand right here. Come on up, Rick. You're gonna stand to Tiffany's right side, and so everybody knows Tiffany and everybody now knows Rick. Say hi, Rick.
Hey, Rick.
Come on, give him a warm greeting. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Rick.
And so what we have here is just, you can face the front. Rick is gonna represent you and I, the people. You and I. And Tiffany is going to represent Bank Tiffany, the banker. And so we're going to imagine now, Rick, and this doesn't necessarily speak to your situation, but I'm going to give you your $1,000. You saved up $1,000 for the emergency fund. We have it. It's here. And what you're going to do is actually go down to the bank and make a deposit into Tiffany's bank. And so go ahead and hand her the money. All of it. Okay. So Rick has now just given her the money. What we have here, hear this, what is happening here is a trust relationship has formed. So what happens is that he has entrusted his money to the bank. Yeah, he's entrusted to the bank. And so let's say now, like fast forward, he wants to now use his money because it's his money. If you guys come just a little bit this way, there we go, perfect, right here. He wants to use his money. And so what he wants to do, he uses money, so he goes down to the bank. He says, okay, I want my $1,000. He gives the cash, a teller, a withdrawal slip. They're going to give it to the fake withdrawal slip, right? And then when he's approaching the teller, then the teller says, oh, you're that Rick. Uh-oh. And so Rick's thinking like, did I do something wrong? And the teller says, no, you didn't do anything wrong, but Tiffany, the banker, she wants to talk to you in her office. And so Rick proceeds to go into the office and come on into the office, and as they're in the office, Tiffany begins to say this.
So Rick, thank you so much for coming in. I just needed to talk to you about a couple of things. So I know that you deposited that $1,000, but I actually, I don't really make that much money here at the bank, and I needed some money for my kids for new school clothes, and we also really need a new car, and so I spent that money, but you don't, is that okay? Is that all right with you?
And so pause right there, you see Rick's reaction, right? And so Rick's mental state is, no, that's not okay. That's not okay. And I don't know about you, but for me, I would be absolutely furious. I would have a fit. I want my money. And the why is because you've entrusted this bank, right, to handle your money, to do with it what the instructions that you gave to it, and you would want your money back. No, it's not okay that you lost it. No, it's not okay that you've misused it, because I've entrusted you with this money. And so let's now change their names for a second. This no longer represents you and I. Just imagine, this no longer represents you and I. Tiffany, the banker, no longer represents the bank. This position represents you and I. And this position represents God. And so what we have here and we see here is that God owns it all. Everything is His. Not just a little bit. Not just a tithe. Not just a love offering. The whole thing is God's. He is the owner, and He has entrusted you and I to be His managers. In His instructions were that we would take care of our own household. In His instructions, we were to leave an inheritance for our children's children. In His instructions, we are to give like no one else. Never did He say we became the owners. All along, we have just become the managers. God stands in the ownership position. Go ahead and give Rick a hand. The psalmist says in chapter 24, verse 1, that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And so let's imagine this. Let's imagine somebody has $1,000 and they just give you the $1,000. The only stipulation is giving this $1,000 is you just got to give $100 to somebody else. Right there, immediately, right there, give $100 to somebody else. And immediately you're thinking, well, that's a good deal. I get to keep $900. But here's the deal. In that moment, you haven't developed the spirit of ownership. You haven't developed the spirit of ownership. And so let's flip the script just a moment and just imagine the same person comes and gives that $1,000 and then at that moment just stops. Fast forward a few months later, with that $1,000 you were given, the person then says, please give $100 to so-and-so. It would be much harder to give away now. And the reason why is because now we've started to get this spirit of ownership in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And so it's essential that we critically or consistently remind ourselves that it's not ours. Say, it's not mine.
It's not mine.
And so the question is, God, what will you have me to do with it?
Right. It's good, and it's a really powerful point. And so it kind of leads to this next point that we recognize, like, the Bible talks a lot about giving. And so we really kind of need to think about, like, why, if he's talking so much about this, why is it so important? But before we can do that, let's just dig in a little bit. And so in your service guide, it says, why does the Bible tell us to give so often? So why does the Bible tell us to give so often? Jesus talks more about money than he did about love or grace in the New Testament. Why is there such an emphasis on giving and on money? In fact, it's sometimes a little bit of an uncomfortable topic if you think about it, because money is very near and dear to our hearts, right? So why is there such this emphasis? Why does God tell us to give so often in Scripture? First of all, we have to debunk a few myths that are really common in the church and a lot of times with really great intention. And the first myth is that God needs our money to help him. That God needs our money to help him. And many of us maybe believe that that's the reason for giving, but God does not need your money. Let me say that again. God doesn't need your money. First of all, it's not ours. We discussed that, right? But listen, God created the entire universe by simply speaking it into existence. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. He's an incredible God. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He owns everything. He's everywhere at the same time. God doesn't need our money to help him. That's really nonsense if you think about it. The second really common myth in the church is that the church needs my money. And there's such great intention behind that. The church needs my money. They need my help, right? But listen, the church doesn't need your money either. The church needs sold-out believers. The church needs sold-out believers. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't give. So I'll explain that in a second. Andrew's like, but it doesn't, the church, that's not why God asks us to give, so that we can do nice things and build nice buildings. The church, what the church needs is leadership who gets it and knows how to live and love and serve. The church needs us to have integrity and live out the word of God. It needs us to be outward focused and not inward focused. It needs us to be focused on winning and loving souls and reaching the lost and those that are hurting and broken. And that sounds a lot like what LifeWay stands for, right? Because we are, like, our purpose and our mission is to be a life-giving church. And when the church has people who are sold out and love Jesus and are following his word, money is simply a byproduct of her functioning properly. And that's really what the church needs. It doesn't need our money. So then you might be saying, okay, then why do I need to give, right? So let's talk about that. So we know that the Bible says in Genesis that you and I were made in his image, in the image of God. In Genesis 1:27, it says, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." And then in Psalms 139:13, and Pastor Andrew referenced this earlier, it says that you made all the delicate inward parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. I want you to think about that. The maker of heaven and earth, our creator, the great I am, knit us together. How beautiful that is. He knows every intricacy of who we are. He designed us with intention and with purpose. And while he was doing it, that was all done in his image. So then we have to look at that and say, okay, when we think about our God and how awesome he is in his entirety, we need to think about who he really is. And so in John 3:16, this is a super familiar verse. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved the world that he gave. And so let that sink in for just a second. He gave for me, he gave for you, for us, for all of our sins, for the sins of this world. He took all of that on. He came down from heaven, wrapped himself in flesh and bore our sins, and he did that because he loves us so deeply. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh, justified by the Spirit, seen of angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." And so listen, God, our example in the flesh, Jesus Christ, was a giver. Yes. And so, listen, if we're made in his image, then the more often that we give, the more our hearts are broken and reshaped, and the more that our hearts begin to look more and more like the heart of Jesus. It's really hard to say that we're Christ-like or that we're even Christians if we're not givers. If we hold so tightly to everything that we give, we're not being shaped and developed into his image the way that he's called us to be. Because in the very essence of God's nature is the fullness of who Jesus is. And Jesus is a giver. The whole word of God, it talks so much about redemption. From the beginning to the end, it declares this incredible love that Jesus has for us. And so every time we give and understand that we're not the owners of our stuff, we move along this spectrum of being really selfish and self-centered into becoming selfless and God-centered. And so even though it might be hard sometimes, once we start to do this, we realize that giving is actually the most fun and rewarding thing that we can do with our money. It allows us to truly become more like Jesus. It changes us and makes us into who we were born and designed to be. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak." Remembering the words of our Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
And so what does giving do and what is giving like? And so the next blank in your handout is this: we are happiest the most when serving and giving. Right. We are the happiest the most when serving and giving. I want you to think back to Serve Day. Just show of hands, who attended Serve Day? Awesome. And if you haven't attended Serve Day, if you think back to a time that you had volunteered or served somebody, what an amazing thing that is. Amen?
Right.
What an amazing time we had serving people, serving our community.
Right.
And I bet you didn't wake up, maybe some of you did, but like I didn't, right? Super excited and physically ready to go, right? We had to pump ourselves up. But listen, at the end of that day, I bet you that your whole spirit changed, right?
Right.
And the incredible feeling that it felt to serve and to give. And so next is this: giving is a reminder of ownership. Giving is a reminder of ownership. This is our reminder. When we get our regular occurring check and we bring our tithe first, it ensures that we remember that God is the owner of it all.
Right.
It's our daily reminder. When we give, that's our reminder. We are not the owner. The next is this: giving is a form of praise and worship. Giving is a form of praise and worship. And so bringing the tithe is a continuation of this process. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says this: "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver."
Amen.
That was a great place to say amen right there.
Amen.
Aren't you excited when you give? It's amazing. It's an incredible feeling. When you start to give, it is an incredible feeling. It does something to you spiritually on the inside. And lastly, giving is spiritual warfare. Giving is spiritual warfare. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, God says this: "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you to pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts." God literally rebukes the devourer when we bring our full tithe. Mm-hmm. He protects what he's entrusted us when we give. And so let's talk about tithes and offerings. So what is a tithe? What is a tithe? And the tithe is simply this, in the next blank in your service guide: the tithe is a tenth of your increase. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22, it says this: "Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year." So a tenth means 10%. What's your increase? Well, mathematically, it's a tenth. It's not 5%. It's not whatever you feel like you want to bring in. If that's the case, what we do is call that something else. We call that offering. And so if it's less than 10th, that's what it's called. And so here's the deal. This is instruction in the word to just really bring our tithe. And that's what matters the most, the instruction. According to a study that was done, somewhere between 2.5% and 4.5% of evangelical Christians tithe. But here's the deal. God doesn't love a tither more than he loves a non-tither.
Right.
This is just instruction. Just like getting on a budget, just like not getting into debt, just like managing our money that God's giving to you and saving. These are instructions on how to live life with money, and it turns out, and it will turn us into who he wants us to be. And so for Tiff and I, we tithe all the way into our $94,000 of debt. And we also tithe all the way out of our $94,000 of debt. And so the Bible then instructs us this, the next blank in your service guide. The Bible says to give your first fruits, meaning off the top. First fruits is mentioned in Scripture about 34 times. And sometimes it's actually referring to the life of Christ. But other times it's referring to the agrarian culture where there is a harvest that comes in. And then what happens is in that culture is you take the first tenth and they give off the top before anything else. And so on the budget forms that we provided and that you'll see on the website, you're going to always see tithing before you do anything else. And our tithe is to go to the local church, which provides the same function as the Old Testament storehouse. So now our local church does provide those things, to feed the widows and the orphans and the Levites. And when we say Levites, what we mean biblically is we're the pastors and preachers. And so let's be honest, our pastors are dramatically underpaid. Dramatically. It's like literally you have to get a phone call from Jesus to be called into ministry as a pastor today. Why? Because you can take that same skill set as a pastor, and then you can literally double that for the family's good in just about any other area. So you literally have to be called. And come on, somebody, aren't you thankful that our pastors are called?
Yeah.
Come on, let's give it up for Pastor Andrew and Shyla, who give it up daily with a sacrifice to do what they've done and do what they do. And here's an idea, and let me be clear, they didn't ask us to share this, but here's an idea. Take your pastors out to lunch. Love on them. Mm-hmm. Pray for them.
Right.
Say something nice to them. They often hear a lot of the negative things. Say something nice to them. These are some of the best people in America. I'm talking about preachers and pastors. These are some of the best people in America. Why? Thank you. Come on, let's give it up for them. Here's why. Because they're called to do what they do for the purpose of God, and certainly not for the money.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. Amen? And so it's what we're called to do. So if we the people can get out of debt, start giving, and think about what would happen. Think about the growth at Lifeway. Think about the lives impacted if we the people would take care of each other. And the last blank in your outline, we should never do this. We should never give with the motive of having your giving returned. Mm-hmm. And so with that, we want to share an incredible story of how God works when we understand tithing.
So I'm just going to share a story that happened to us not too long ago. And for those of you that were here last week, got to hear a lot about the incredible things God's done in our lives in order to really bless and equip us to pay off this incredible amount of debt that Stenz and I had. So if you weren't here, short story is Stenz and I were in about about $94,000 of debt, which is a lot of money. And so God miraculously helped us to get out of that through following his word. But what I want to share with you is a story that I felt like God really laid on our hearts just to I hope, increase and build your faith in what giving is really about. And I also want to preface with, like, I know that sometimes when you come to a church and you hear people talk about giving, it can maybe rub you the wrong way. So I'm just being really real in that. And I just want to say that really I want you to get that this is not about you giving money to our church or to a church down the street. It's really just simply about, like, you living the life that God has for you so that you can experience all that God has for you. It's not really even about the money or the percent. So it's really just about obedience to God, because he's this incredible loving God that every time he asks us to do something in his word, even though it may seem painful, it is always for our good. And so with that, I want to share a story that happened, Stenz and I, about 4 months ago. About 4 months ago, we were pretty close to being completely out of debt, but not totally yet. So this is very recent. And so Stenz came to me, and I'll never forget, I was standing in the kitchen, and he said, you know, Tiff, what do you think about this idea? And God had laid on his heart that there was a couple that he knew of that were, they had recently started working really hard to follow the financial plan that God had and working on getting out of debt and just being really faithful. And he said, you know, I feel like maybe we should give something to them and just be a blessing. And he said, what do you think about that? And so I said, well, yeah, let's pray about it. And I knew that we weren't fully out of debt yet, but I did pray about it, and so did Stens, and we both felt really clearly that God was asking us to give. We both prayed about a number. That's kind of what we do, and then we try to, like, reveal, okay, what God said to you. You know, like, he doesn't audibly tell me, not yet, maybe someday. But, you feel something laid on your heart. And so I felt like God had spoke to me and laid a certain number on my heart, and so we shared that, and we were both completely in agreement. And so we just did it, and really not with the intention of God blessing us back, but truly just trying to be obedient. And sometimes this is a little awkward to share, because I want you to know my heart is not to say, like, a pat on the back for giving. This is truly to try to help you just to see one of thousands of stories of God's faithfulness. And so we gave this amount, and then shortly after, I went in to do our budget, do it biweekly, and so then I was going in to make another payment on our debt. And I knew we were close, but I wasn't exactly sure the exact number that we still owed on our remaining debt. And so I went in to pay it, and I didn't even realize immediately at the time, but there was a balance that was left, and somehow within our budget, God had blessed us to be able to pay that total lump sum on our debt, and that was our last payment. And it was this incredible moment where, like, I made that last click and I realized, like, man, God, you're so faithful. But here's what was even more incredible. When I looked back and, you know, you're going over your budget, it was like God opened my eyes to something that I didn't even realize right away. The exact amount that we paid on our last payment for debt was almost dollar for dollar what we had given to this couple that God laid on our heart. And so it was just this moment where I was like, wow, like, God, you're just so faithful. Like, there's no way that I could have planned this out or thought these things through, and it was over a span of time, but God, you're just so faithful. And we don't give to get stuff, but yet for what God is, like, it just was such a moment of, like, gratitude in my own life and in what obedience can do. And so I just say that to say that no matter what, if you follow God's plan, he will always take care of you. And it doesn't mean that it will be easy. And I hope we, you know, get that part. Like, you don't start and you're like, they lied, it's hard. It's super hard. But God is so faithful and so, so, so good. And so I just hope that you guys are encouraged by that. And Sense has one more thing to share, and then we're going to pray. And I just ask that you let your heart be softened as God continues to speak to you.
And so as we close, when we think about giving, we're often reminded of this, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Let me explain. It's one of my favorite all-time stories in Scripture. And it's, in fact, it's recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. And it's a time when Jesus feeds 5,000 men. And the crowd is probably much bigger than that, we know, but in Scripture it's recorded, feeds 5,000 men. But it's this idea in John chapter 6, the perspective here is very unique. Jesus asks Philip this. He says, how are we going to feed this crowd? And of course, we know that Jesus is God. Jesus knew the answer, so he knows the answer. He's just testing Philip at this point. But it was at this moment then when Andrew, one of his disciples, walks up with a little boy, and Scripture says that Andrew says this. Here's a young boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, had the story ended right there, it would have still been an amazing, powerful story, a magnificent God who is able to do incredible works, and the disciples would have been in absolute awe more than they would have as their normal time with them, with Jesus. They would have been blown away. But Andrew said something at this point that really changed the whole dynamics of the story. Here's what he said. Here's a young boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what is this for so many? And it was this little word, but, that changed the whole dynamics. Here we had this little boy who gave, who brought his best. He gave 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so many times we find ourselves saying, I would love to give, but. And so for Tiff and I, our simple prayer is this. God, with the gifts and talents that you've given us, with the blessings, the finances that you provided for us, it's yours. They don't seem like much to us in our hands, but God, in your hands, they're everything. Take what we have and use it for your purpose, Lord. And each and every time we do that, you would be absolutely amazed and in awe of the power. Don't ever underestimate your giving, because God will turn it into a miracle and it will bless others. But five simple loaves and two fish into the hands of the one who created all of the universe. There's nothing that can't be done with that. Nothing. And that's what it means to give.
Amen. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one moving around right now, the Spirit of God is gently convicting some of us, because the blood that was shed for us on Calvary, he's given his all for us. He loves us more deeply, more fully than we could ever know. So we've challenged you to live like no one else, so that later you can have the opportunity to live and to give like no one else. And maybe some of us are feeling that tug on our heart, that maybe we need to make some changes. And for some of us, maybe this is just the first change that you need to make is nothing about finances, but maybe just giving your life to Jesus right now. If you're willing, give him full control. And if you're willing to do that, then repent and simply say, I'm sorry, Lord. And if you're saying today, Tiffany, I'm ready to make that decision. I'm ready to take that step. I'm tired of carrying my own sins. And I'm ready to commit everything that I am to Jesus, because I know that he paid the ultimate price for our sins, something that nobody else could pay for me. So with every head bowed and eye closed, if that's where you are, we want to pray for you. And if you're ready to follow Jesus, give your life to him without hesitation, if you would just raise your hand at this moment. Thank you. Thank you. So awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much. Thank you, God, that you are a giver, that you are our example, Lord. Jesus, that you came down from heaven, Lord, that you lived a life of sacrifice and ultimately paid it all so that we could be completely set free. Thank you for your example, Father. Make us givers, God, in every area of our lives. Help us to love Jesus. Help us to love like you, to give like you. And God, we know that, Jesus, you are faithful. For those here, Jesus, that are willing and ready to commit their lives to you, right now, God, I just pray that you would touch them, Lord, that you would fill them with your Spirit, Lord, that they would be wrapped in your arms, Jesus, and know how much you love them, that you treasure them, Jesus. And Lord, let them never be the same, Father. Let us not walk out of this place the same way that we came in, Jesus, but knowing that you've come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God, we thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. We thank you for your love, Jesus. And we commit ourselves and our lives and everything in it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.